Well, this morning we're going to go back into our teaching dealing with kingdom authority. Hugely important subject. One thing is in dealing with authority, anyone who is given authority in any area, they're authorized to something. You're authorized to do things. So in life, I mean, you have things, if you're working on a job somewhere, there's certain things that you have of authority, or you're authorized to do certain things on that job, you know, everything in life, you'll find that wherever you're at, there's always somebody in charge, authorization. There's always somebody who's a superior who delegates authorities to others. And so, you know, we have them really, if we look as like with our Constitution was drawn up for our country, was the ideal of our government was the fact that there was things that were the authority that was given to the people within the country. That's one of the big fights today is going on because we have, Washington, and it don't matter which party you go to, there are too many little dictators running around that want to become the authority. They want authority over somebody else. You understand this. This is a demonic thing when people want to dominate somebody else. And their need in life, you know, with people, you know, and this comes in an area, you know, we see it in Christianity all across the board. We see people operating in this area, and we need to know about ourselves that operating in areas trying to usurp authority, that's demonic. Trying to take somebody else's authority or having your need to rule over somebody else to make yourself a self-worth, you know. That I'm important, I'm somebody because I can rule somebody else. And we have a lot of that today. People don't realize that's one of the great problems that we're dealing with is people, there's not a satisfaction that people have. And the satisfaction in life that people need can only be found through walking with Jesus Christ. Where my self-worth isn't how many people I'm over. My self-worth is not based on the money that I have. But it is in our nation, and even it's as much in the church world as it is around in the nation, because it's all around the nation because it's in the church world. There's wonderful, good Christian people, but the majority of Christianity in America is messed up. It is messed up really bad. And why? Because it follows the dictates of the world and tries to operate through the world system. Many people want to bring change, and the idea of being changed, and this is one of the problems in the church world is this. We're looking for government to be the instrument of bringing things to order. And what we want to do is bring in government, we want law to rule from the standpoint which somebody got to be in charge and they're going to do all that I want. And see, that just instigates the problem. Because you're going to put somebody in charge of something and we're putting, I mean, we got so many people in charge of so many different things, it is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, we have so many agencies in Washington and we're just burning through money like it's toilet paper and it just goes on and it does nothing and both parties are dumping money into it, you know. You know, they're sitting around and fighting over all kind of stuff that it don't matter who it is and what it is what they're fighting over. It's not amounting to anything. There's one thing that I found out that's best in my life. If I let Jesus rule and reign. Amen. I find out that I do much better when I allow Him. Because, you know, when you have somebody, I don't know about you. I'm not perfect. And I make mistakes and I've made some dumb ones. And so have you. We've all been where we've made mistakes and that stuff, things. And the fact that we could have a ruler who's perfect. But the whole thing of it is that I love about my Lord and my God is this. They're always looking out for my best interest. God never said anything in the Bible. God never said don't do this or don't do that because He's just some kind of strict dude. It's to my protection. You know, God set a rule in the garden for Adam and Eve. Don't eat that tree. Oh, eat of that thing. He didn't do it to hurt them. The devil said, yeah, he did. Yeah. Because you eat that tree, you're going to be like God. Hey, you know why the devil said that? Because he thought he could be like God. He found out it didn't work, so he tripped man up on the same thing. See, today we're living in a nation where promotes people to be God. All across, you dominate and you rule. You know, you can be the lousiest person at doing whatever you do, but we'll give you a trophy because you showed up. We're always trying to make people, we're always trying to make people big, like they're something when they're nothing. It's, you know, one of the things that actually that God's been dealing with me is the things that we're going through is one of the things that God talked to me about was the fact that of trusting Him. And He talked a lot about the things of just getting over where I will just trust Him on something and just let it alone. Just trust Him with it. It's one of the things He spoke about is one of the problems He said we're dealing with in the church world today as a whole. Now, a lot of wonderful good Christians, but there's a lot of messed up stuff. He said there's a great arrogance in the church world. He said because Christians are living their lives, what they're doing even in Christianity, they're doing it through their power and their own wills. And they're doing it not with His power, not waiting on Him. We're doing it through what we think is our brilliance. He said, Christians think they're so smart. There's number one, see, if I get to the part where I really think I'm smart, there's no one thing, I'm not going to be seeking God. See, now I can do it. If faith is the only thing that pleases God, then I will have to arrive at a place I can't do it, because I'm going to have to use faith to trust Him for something. If I can do it, so what we're dealing with is a faithless church. See, because we're so brightly educated and we're so smart and we have so much available we can do. And one thing the Lord brought back to my memory because of a Chinese minister. I have a book about this Chinese pastor. Well, he guy got saved and he was living in China and they imprisoned him. The things that this man went through in his life, I mean, you never in your life ever had probably in all your time of problems you ever went through probably never amounted to a month of his life. What this man went through because he was a Christian. The tortures and the stuff and the things that this guy did because he wouldn't quit on Jesus. But you know, he wouldn't quit on Jesus. Well, finally he got out of China and, they brought him to the United States and took him around to show him the churches in the United States. And he took him from church to churches in different places, took him all over. And he was leaving, and I'm not sure where he was going back to. I don't know if he was going back to he was going to Taiwan or someplace. He was going to leave the United States. And he was in Los Angeles airport. And I thought this was hilarious because the first time I read it in a newspaper. But it's in his book. But it was in there, and a reporter asked him this question, what do you think of the church in America? He said, it is amazing what you're able to do without God. That was his statement. Say, woohoo! Boy, I'll tell you what. It's amazing. And, I think we've all been guilty that time. We've been trying to figure things out and trying to do things. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's all sometimes just a part of growing up spiritually. You know, sometimes you just got to go through some things to find out some things and you do it, but learning to trust God. But you know, there is a simplicity, you know, when Jesus talked about becoming as a child, you know, he wasn't talking about being stupid and being not having educated, but you come as a child, as a child will always, you know, a child is usually not trying to do a whole lot of things by themselves. They're usually trying to get somebody else involved in doing it or something or other. But getting that thing, you need to come to a place where you know your need. Most people never arrive at that spot. Most people are trying to get, they think what their problem is in their life and they want to get fixed. They're usually focusing on the wrong thing to get stuff fixed. They don't see their real need. But I have learned this in life. I had to try to find out, what do I really need? You know, when God dealt with me in the areas, I talk about it in 2014, the Lord, I really had a supernatural time period there for about a month or so where God began to deal with me on certain things about finances. And I had questions to Him about this because, you know, in Christianity, people say, well, you know, God will supply your need. Well, what does that mean by need? I mean, there's some people, I mean, they would tell you what you need. You just, you know, one bologna, minced bologna sandwich, you know, a day would be plenty. You could need, you could live off of that. You could get by. They say that's need. But that's not with God. And I didn't realize this, even myself, because I had have never heard anybody teach this before. And the Lord said to me, you develop your need. You determine what your need is. He said, I don't. I thought, man, boy, they never taught us that one. What do you mean? And then he explained to me, because see, your need is develops through your faith in God. Your need. You know, the more I found this out, the more I walk close to God, I find myself in a greater need of Him. I develop that, He don't. I don't all of a sudden one day and I just have this great need for God. That's developed over time where you learn to know Him and learn to walk in Him. But the Lord told me this. The Lord said about, I said, He was dealing with me in the areas of money because when He had said to me, He said, you don't receive at the level that you give. And He wanted me to start receiving more. He said, you don't do that. And He began to talk to me about my need. And then He talked about what was in my heart. He said, you're going to need a lot of money. And I said, well, now, where does this come from? How do I go about this? See, because I've never heard anybody teach on this thing about this need thing. Because need was always about what you could get by with. But I found out that's not a scriptural thing. That's what meant. That religion did that. You know, see, religion has done, you go over to areas with healing with God is the same thing, what you need. Well, sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says no. You go through all that rigmarole. Not one thing in Scripture ever says such a thing, but it's developed by man. Religion developed those things. Men didn't know what to do because something didn't work, and instead of asking God, why, what's going on, why aren't things working? No, they developed their own religious beliefs outside of Scripture. We developed religious beliefs. And see what we do like today. There's so much that people, you need to understand this. Truth is not based upon what you believe. Whether you believe it or not, don't change truth. I don't care what you believe. You're not the maker of truth. I either agree with truth or I believe a lie. It's just that simple. But see, people think it's a big deal about what I believe, as if it becomes true because I believe it. Well, no, I don't. Truth is based, has to have a foundation of something. It's got to be grounded upon something that we know is factual, something we know. And then if I believe it, it's beneficial, but if it's not true. And see, people need to understand that. You know, people always throw out, people throw out their beliefs. But I'll stop and say, well, what does the Bible say? And they cannot tell you. They have no foundation of truth. But they think because they believe that then that makes it a truth. It doesn't. I found out Ed Gibson definitely isn't the center of truth. I didn't found it. I didn't invent none of it. I didn't. But I found out when we do find truth, it's really beneficial. Hugely beneficial when we find this truth. And I found out this about truth. Religion don't have a lot of truth because religion wears you out. Truth makes you free. Truth brings joy to your life. Truth brings hope. See, we're living in a nation with all this mess going on out here, and it's caused so little truth. The church has so little truth. People stand up who have truth and say them, and most people don't even believe it. The average person out here in a church won't even believe what the truth says. They don't believe it. And see, truth is not something invented. If it's true, it's just true. It isn't true because I understand it. See, we have a mental Christianity. If I understand it, then it's true. No, truth is truth whether you understand it or not. Has nothing to do with it. Last time I checked, I ain't near as brilliant as God, so I should not measure my understanding in trying to base truth because I understand. Because I'm always going to shortchange God. God is going to be made in my image of my little mind. The average person, the average Christian today, God is made after their little minds. See, you want a God bigger than you can think. There is a need for that. A God who is greater. Now, how many times have I talked to you guys about eternity? So you can't wrap your head around what eternity is. You can't give me a definition. People say, well, it's forever. What does that mean? You give me an example of forever. You can't. You can't, your mind can't go to that plus. Is eternity true? Yeah, it's true, but I can't wrap my head around it. I don't need to. All I need to do is believe it. So all I need to do is believe it. See, this faith thing is really easy. We've complicated it and made it a mental thing. We made it this thing that you need to go to college to understand. You got to go to Bible school to figure it out. I've learned this. I have traveled some places in this world, and I've been with people that are a lot less educated in America, and they had greater faith than Americans had. Why? Because they believed it even if they didn't understand it. They just believed that the Bible was true. They'd go do the dumbest things you'd ever seen in life just because they thought the Bible was true, and they'd go do it, and God bless them. And you come to the Americans, you preach the same thing, and they're trying to figure it all out, and they're trying to understand it all. And that's a terrible place to be. I'm not in competition with God. I found it wouldn't do any good to me and God in competition. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, that's stupid. But in a sense, we do that. It's like we're trying to operate on a level. Brilliance spiritually comes from trust. Understanding comes from trust. It doesn't come, faith doesn't come from understanding, then believe. That's what we do. See, education, our education, figure this whole thing all out, and then, okay, now, you know, I'll believe this thing works out. Faith comes by hearing. You hear it. Wow, it's true. Don't make any sense. Does it make any sense that Jesus took the sin of the whole world on himself? You see, you know, I'm sitting here eyeballing a bunch of fools. The Bible calls you a fool. You're a fool because you believe this gospel. You're a fool. Bible says so, so get over it. You're a fool. Hallelujah. But you know what? God made the foolish wise. You didn't get to say because you understood salvation. Man, took me years to figure some of the stuff out, to come to a comprehension of it. Yet I got saved being the fool. Because I believed it even when I didn't understand. Somehow I knew in me it was right. The witness of the Holy Spirit. Oh, isn't that wonderful? See, you don't have to be a genius. See, you know, when faith and all this gets complicated, and this is why God is moving in this earth today. God is moving, and people are having a hard time seeing it because we're trying to mentally fix it. We're looking at Washington and what's going on. We're looking at this and looking at that. We're operating out of all the seen stuff, and we take all the seen and we put it over here with the God in the unseen. But man, we've made seen so big, we can't look past it. This God to trust. Now, we've been talking about this thing and authority, and we're coming back over to it. Last week we looked at this and we talked about, because I've always put it back to things of John G. Lake. I remember as a young Christian and reading a book on John G. Lake, and I'll never forget that he said, made this statement, and it really struck me, and I've stood by it. He said, if Jesus made a statement about something, and he said it, he said, that's the last thing I need to hear on the subject. I don't care what anybody else says. Jesus is the full authority. You see, we need to bring that back to the church again, where Jesus, there's too many ministers that have become people's full authority. Too many ministers have become, and they're speaking things, and they aren't in line with Jesus. If it ain't in line with Jesus, it doesn't matter. I don't care what God said. They say God told them. I don't care. It has to be, if Jesus spoke, then it's Jesus. That, you know, I don't care what anybody says. And see, we're talking about last week, things that Jesus said. We're looking in John, in the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, we found out Jesus said things dealing in the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th chapter. Before he was crucified, those were the things that he spoke to the disciples before they went out to the garden. Jesus told them things concerning what was going to happen, this new age that was coming, this new time period that was coming. There's going to be a huge spiritual change. Now, we looked last week as one of the things that he said in John 14. He made this statement, I think it was verse 12, and he said, you know, talking about the believer, he said, the one who believes on me, the works that I do, he'll do also. Now, you know, and we talked about last week, because see, those scriptures were spoken by Jesus. Yet 90% of the church don't believe them. They don't believe we can do the work. The works of Jesus is giving people food and clothing. That's the works of Jesus. Well, I can't find that in the Bible. When I look at Jesus' ministry, what were his works? Jesus, we find, told John the Baptist what his works were. He said, you see, the lame walking, the blind are seeing, the dead are being raised, the gospel is being preached to the poor, to the poor. He told him that's what his works were. Oh. Say, well, we don't do that. He said the people that believe, the ones that believe on me. And see, this is one of the things. We need to come back to the truth of the word. See, you have been authorized to do the works of Jesus. You have been authorized to do them. You don't have to wait. You don't need a call. The call already went out. Now I want you to think about it. Think about this. This is one thing, is setting yourself. Jesus said this, and I said, like I said last week, that we're talking about, in other words, he authorized the believer. Anybody, he said to the disciples, you go in the world, in Mark 16, you go preach the gospel. And the ones who believe, he said, they're going to cast out devils. He said, don't lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Jesus said, that's what happens to the believing ones, the ones that believe. There again, Jesus said, see his works. Jesus said, this is what I'm authorized the believer to do. The believer to do. He didn't say, you have to have a certain ministry, you got to be a minister, you got to be a pastor, you got to be a prophet, you got to be this, that. He said, believer. Well, see, first you got to signify, am I a believer? Who's he talking to? See, the average, I can tell you ministers here in town who believe in being born again, and I've heard them preach from their own voice. Oh, this is, he was talking about the apostles would do this stuff. That's a complete lie. That isn't what Jesus said. Jesus said the believers. So I'm assuming he believes he's not a believer. You need to understand, if there is no power in the gospel anymore, there is no more salvation. It ended. You are not saved. You can't separate the power of the gospel from the saving of the gospel. You got saved. You get born again by power. But see, we left believing in Jesus. And Jesus said this. We talked about works because we're separating. Today we're going to talk about another. Jesus said in his name, his work is done in his name. In his name. In other words, his name has authorized you to go. His name also holds the power to bring it to pass. See, you don't have power per se of your own to heal people or to do any of that kind of stuff. You don't have power. But you have the name which you've been authorized to use. And it'd be sort of like, you know, a policeman in a gun. The policeman's not the gun. A soldier in a war, he's not the gun. He has one. So he's not the power. What you do is pull the trigger. This is what Jesus did. My name's the trigger. Pull it. And why? Then the gun goes off. And then the gun does what you commanded. See, you're going to point that gun somewhere and pull the trigger. You just shoot it in the air and goes nowhere, doesn't do anything, that's up to you. But Jesus said that he has given man, the believer, he has authorized the believer to do his works. And he said, that believer will, in my name, he says, whatever you ask, now the New King James says ask, One of the rings is that their word is also used as the idea, demand or command. You can also use it because that word also means that. And this is, we got to look at and interpret according to how it was used in there. And what's he talking about? We went over and looked where Peter went into the gate beautiful. And in the name of Jesus, he healed the guy. And he told them, he said, faith in that name is what made this man whole. He didn't say, I have some special power. I have some special something or other. He said, faith in the name. In other words, the name authorized them to go do what they did, and that power that's in that name healed the man. Peter didn't say, I healed him. Peter said, why do you look on us as we did something? Hey, why are you guys looking at us as if we did something great? It's the name of Jesus did this thing. Isn't that wonderful? See, it's not my job. I don't heal anybody. I don't heal anyone. You know? That's like me walking around holding a gun and I say, I'm the gun. And they say, well, put him in a home somewhere. Give him a shot. Put him to poor guy to sleep. He's messed up. He's crazy. You see, we need to get ourselves over in line. But understand this. This is what Jesus said. And we need to come back to the simplicity of scriptures. This is what Jesus said. We need to determine this. Did he lie or is that true? This is what people do. Well, if that's true, then why don't we see it? Because of your unbelief. You just told me why. You don't believe it. It isn't. See, we got to come down to this thing. We hate to admit we're at fault. Get over it. We're at fault. You got to get past that point of patting and petting ourselves. See, we live in a society, you can be the lousiest guy in the room, you get a trophy. Why? You're okay. No, you're not. If you're a nut, you're not okay. You need fixed. Nobody ever gets fixed anymore. Nothing ever gets fixed. You know, I haven't arrived yet. You know, Paul said, I haven't obtained, you know, and I haven't gone far enough. I know what Paul's talking about. We need to understand about it. There's things still need to be worked out in us, things, but we gotta come down to the thing, we gotta come to the simplicity of about the gospel. Is it true? Did Jesus tell those guys something that wasn't true? Now people will say, yes, that's true, but it was for the apostles. Yet the words don't say that. We have so much religious belief in the church and we call it truth and it's nothing but lies. The devil has hoodwinked the church. He's gotten in. He's become the preacher to much of the church. The apostle Paul called it doctrines of devils. That's what he called in the last days what was going to happen. There's going to be doctrines of devils we're going to get into church in the last days. And it'll suck. The first thing the devil does is come and suck the life out of things. It's the first thing he does. Whatever you have, he's going to try to suck the life out of it. He's going to try to take whatever you got. That's what he's going to do. He's always going, oh, this ain't for you. That ain't for you. You know, there's some reason, you know, yes, I know God can heal, but you need to understand he's trying to teach you something. See, he's trying to teach you something. Now I want you to think about that. Do we ever find in Jesus' ministry, now Jesus Christ himself said, I don't say anything the Father don't say. He also said, I don't do anything the Father don't do. You show me in Jesus' ministry wherever he turned somebody down and said, it wasn't God's will to heal you. If somebody can prove to me that God is doing that, then God is the biggest liar we got. And Jesus Christ's ministry is a fraud because we didn't see the Father in his ministry. He lied to us. See, we got to clear these things up because we got to come to this place of faith as, look, let God be true and every man a liar. If I believe different than the word, I'm a liar. You know what? I was a liar on something. There's times I thought certain things were true. And then I found out in the Bible, I thought, that wasn't right at all. You know, somebody preaches this stuff, they preach this thing, and we bought it. We said we bought it, but the Bible don't teach it. But we liked it. We liked it, but it wasn't true. Now everybody, is there anybody here that you never found out that you were wrong? If you didn't, we're going to have an altar call for liars and get you saved here, because you're definitely, you're in bad shape. We all are at that point. We come along. There is some time for us as this, and understand what we're all learning. You know, sometimes, I always thought, because the Lord reminded me of this one, because he said, dealing with the arrogance in the church, he said, the Christians need to understand, and he reminded me of Paul. Paul said, that we look through a glass darkly. He said, you know, we understand in part, and we prophesy in part. So sometimes we just got parts. We don't have the whole thing. We may have a part of a truth, but we haven't got it all yet. To me, one of the greatest things that I am looking forward to this is going to the other side, is being able to see clearly. You need to understand, you have a problem and I have a problem. And the Bible, you know, uses the term lots of times. The Old Testament, it talked about the veil. And we see in the New Testament, it talks about the veil over Moses' face and you couldn't see the glory. It talks about us looking into the glory. But really, we have a veil on this side and it's your flesh. And I'll tell you, sometimes that veil is hard to see through. It's hard to see through. Paul understood that. On this side, we see through a glass darkly. We're looking and we see certain truth. But he talked about, oh, there's a day coming, folks, and it's called face to face. That's the one I'm looking for. I am looking for that face to face. I'm not all about staying here till I'm 2,000 years old. I ain't believing God for none of that. No, we ain't going there. I'm just going to live. I'm just going to believe God and stay here. There's people who do that are dumb as a stick. As you get closer to God, you won't be with him. See, I know people that don't know God very well. Why would you want to stay away from him? I don't mind getting older. I don't mind getting older. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave. One way or the other. I'm going to go. I'm going to be with Jesus. I'll tell you, what a future. Don't matter how it goes. One way or the other. Hallelujah. Whether I go in the new suit or have to go and wait for the new suit to come back. You know what? I ain't nervous about none of it. Don't matter. Hallelujah. We get to go to the place we be with Jesus. You ain't going to get to heaven and find out anybody who's unhappy they're there that wishes they were down here. That will never happen. You don't have one relative up there that longs to be with you here. I will guarantee it. They ain't wasting their time looking down here all the time to see what you're doing either. Don't you even think of it. We have so much natural stuff preached that people think is true, but is 100% unbiblical. They ain't interested in the natural. God ain't. He said he don't judge by outward appearance, so he must not be sitting there looking at all the natural. Now, we live in here in this natural. Understand, it's important to him in helping us in this natural. Because we're here in this natural. But it isn't the top agenda to everything. There's a glory for you and I. Hallelujah. And what will keep you in life is to continue to look at the glory that's to be revealed. Hallelujah. See, this faith thing's good because it keeps your eye on the glory. Because see, down here when you're going through things and things seem hard, there's a glory to look at. Oh my, you need glory to look at. You're in the middle of trouble. I don't need Fox News. It don't give me no glory if I look at it. I don't look at Newsmax and see glory. I don't find it there. No, hallelujah. But you know what? You need glory to look at. You need something. You need something, because see, you lose hope if you don't. You can't lose hope because faith is the substance of things hoped for. If hope goes, you have no place of faith. Hallelujah. Now we want to talk this morning, I just want to share something, because Jesus said something else. And we need to know this. Jesus authorized the believers to pray. authorized. He didn't just tell you to pray. He gave you authorization to pray and also gave you power concerning prayer. Now listen, this is John 15. This is what Jesus told the disciples. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die. He's going to be raised from the dead. And man, something's going to happen that's going to be absolutely phenomenal. Because there's a change coming. See, the new birth. You know, so many people look at the disciples. When we look at disciples on the side before the cross, they were pretty much a mess. I mean, think about this. Jesus makes the statement that a Roman soldier had more faith, he said, than anyone I found in all Israel. And that included his disciples. His disciples had less faith, and they're walking around with Jesus. They're living with him every day. And he said a Roman soldier, a centurion, had more faith than they did. Jesus is out in the boat, and the wind's blowing and stuff, and we're all going to die, we're all going to die! And Jesus goes, oh, you faithless man. You call him faithless. And said to him, why were you afraid? Oh, aren't you glad you weren't on the boat? No, but I want you to see this. We're dealing, but see, this is one of the things. Why did that happen? How could a centurion have more faith? I can tell you it's very simple. He wasn't religiously brainwashed. It's the same thing today. The religiously brainwashed church. The average Christian's a religious brainwash. And it's hard to get across to them. They believe all kind of things that aren't true. And it's hard. See, I found this when I came into the kingdom. See, I got born again, but I had rejected the church world I came out of as a kid. And I went for years godless. And then when I finally got born again, one thing that I found out is coming into the kingdom, a lot of people came in with a lot of beliefs. They got born again, come into the kingdom. They had a lot of preconceived beliefs when they came in. And they carried those things. See, things that they were taught. And they carried them on. What they did is, and especially in what we call the charismatic movement, God came, the spirit-filled life and all that kind of stuff. They just added it to their other beliefs. And what they had is like this. Just because you have some clean water, if you dump it into dirty water, it all becomes dirty water. See, and this is what they were doing. God was revealing over here clean things, but they were just dumping it right in and mixing it with the rest of their religious stuff. And so they ended up with a tainted thing that didn't work. It had some good things in it, but had stuff in it that caused them problems. And things they couldn't attain. So they started making up beliefs. Well, yeah, I know the Bible says this, but that is what it really means is this. They started doing that. Why? Trying to make excuses. Why? They thought that stuff that they believed was right. So I can't be wrong. It must be God had another meaning. So they started doing that. When I came into the kingdom, one of the fortunate things is, God got me hooked up with the Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and he spoke to me and told me, he said, you listen to him teach. Don't listen to all this other stuff. Listen to him. And thankfully, I started hearing things that were truth. And I found this. They ran contrary to things I was taught growing up in the church. And I was always reminded, God told me, listen to what he says. And I would go there. He would say this all the time. Don't believe it because I say it. Go to the Word and see if it's true. See, I was born and raised in a church. You believe it because I say it. Oh, yeah. That was the church. And that's where most people are raised, in a church. You believe it because I said it. Now, if the Word don't say it. And Kenneth Hagin would do that. I heard him say that thousands of times. He said, look, you look to the Word. You look. Is the Word saying what I preach? Is the Word saying what? See, it's important what the Word says. It doesn't mean what somebody else said about it or someone else. Jesus made this statement, John 15. He said, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Now, if you read down through John 15, he's talking about Christian. He's talking about the believer. If you read down through, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And he went on to think, your fruit producing. Now, listen to what he says. This whole thing. Now, listen to what he said. You know, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Do you know, really, that is how we came to Christ. God reached out to us. You know, we would be, no one comes to the Son except the Father draw them. If God ain't drawing you, you didn't come to Jesus on your own and figure, you were never bright. Me, I was never bright. I would have went off to hell, stupid, if they waited for me to look for God. I was in no look for God. God came knocking on my door. God came and I knew it was God. I did, because I wasn't looking for God. But God came and knocked on my door. Now listen to what he says. What is this whole bit of me chose you? I chose you and I appointed you for this. Here's the purpose, that you bear much fruit. Now this fruit, what's kind of fruit? Listen to the fruit. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Listen to that. Now you talk about a wild statement. I want you to get a hold of something here because of misinterpretation of the Bible. It has done so much. Did you notice he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he didn't say, whatever God wants you to have, you ask me. See, he didn't say that. Didn't say it. In fact, you'll never find statements made like that. Unless it's religion itself. Religion is full of those statements. You know, I have a person who, on a couple occasions, I had called me. Nobody in this church, so you don't know who I'm talking about. But called me a number of times and would ask me to agree with them in prayer on something. A Christian, spirit-filled person. And they'd say, would you agree with me? And they would say what it is that they were believing God for the thing. And then when they would say about, we're going to bring him, but I don't want anything God doesn't want me to have, whatever he wants. Well, I'll guarantee you, I never pray one word of prayer about it. It would be worthless to do. They weren't believing for anything anyhow. They didn't know what God wanted. How can you agree with what you don't know what God wants? I can't agree with you if we have nothing to agree on. They're saying, look, I want this, but I don't know. Maybe God don't want me. So let's pray and ask God for it. Let's see what happens. That was one of the most faithless prayers. The church is full of that today. And the King James Version says in Mark 11:24, whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, you'll have it. You know, it does not say whatever God desires you to have, believe you receive it. But that's what most of the church believes. This is why things don't work. We're on a prayer. God, Jesus talked so simply and made statements that are just, I understand it's hard for people to believe. Because we try to think like God, but lots of times don't. It's hard for us to imagine that God is so gracious to us. That God trusts you in your prayer life. That God trusts you. You know, I've heard ministers, I've heard hundreds of ministers say this word. God will never give you anything that, you know, it ain't his will. He'll never give it to you. Well, tell me about that Israel when they asked for the king. And God said, I don't want you to have one. They said, we want one. He said, go ahead, have at it, guys. See how you're going to like it. We got so much nonsense taught in the church world. It has robbed us of our faith. It's robbed us of our confidence in God. See, I don't believe Jesus lied. Jesus wants me to have a fruitful life, he says here. You go back and read, I'm the branch, you're the branch. He wants you to bear fruit. Now he tells you here about, I want you to bear fruit. In other words, he wants you to have a fruitful prayer life, which means this. He wants your prayers answered. You don't have a prayer life if your prayers don't get answered. You don't have one. You have a religious talk life. Now this is not incumbent, you know, speaking condemnation to anybody. It deals with the area of truth. Is we've got the point, we've let people talk us out of truth like Jesus didn't really mean it. Jesus said in his name, against him, in my name. Now I want you to think about this. You have been authorized by Jesus Christ. Now understand, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto Jesus. Do you realize that Father God is not operating under all authority? Jesus is. He gave all of authority of heaven and earth to Jesus. This is what Jesus said. Now I'm going to tell you what. You want something? Ask Dad for it in my name. He'll do anything and give you whatever you need. He'll give it to you in my name. Now, that's mind-boggling. Now see, you get to try to wrap your head around that, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to end up dying and going to heaven and never really believing it. It isn't about me trying to figure it out. It's true. And you know what? You know when understanding will come? When I take it as truth. I don't care what anybody else preaches on the subject. I ain't listening to it. They're sitting around and trying to talk us out of everything Jesus Christ gave us. As if he was some kind of fool and didn't know what to say. He didn't know Ed was going to stand here one day and had done read that thing and actually believed it was true. And he didn't explain himself? Well, then he's the problem, not me. Faithlessness is because of him. Is that where we're going to stay? Are we going to preach that? I ain't going there. I'm going to face him one day. We don't want to go through that one. So you know what? You were my problem down there. I'd have done real good if you'd have just learned how to teach. Hallelujah. Whatever you ask the Father, think about this. I sort of put it like this. It's, you know, we talk about putting into the church's hands. It's almost like giving a baby a gun. God gave the babies a gun. He handed us a prayer life. He authorized us to talk to Father God, the one who sits on the throne with the rainbow over it. The all-knowing Father of everything that ever was or ever could be. I mean, and Jesus says, you know what? You know, my dad's your dad. Now, because I want you to listen to this. John 16 and 23. Now listen to this stuff. This is this wild, crazy Jesus guy. This is this guy. You got to watch him because he don't preach in a lot of churches today. You know? His sayings are too wild. They're too crazy. They don't make sense. Because see, you've been told God really don't need you. Oh yeah. I've heard preacher after preacher, God really don't need us. Then why does he keep bugging me to follow him? Quit asking for my money, God. If you don't need me, there's no place in the Bible says he don't need. Here's what the scripture says. John 16, 23 says, and in that day, listen, this is Jesus, in that day, there's a day coming. Well, that day has arrived. Jesus came out of the tomb. Jesus went to heaven, took his blood into the holies of holies. He sat down at the right hand of God, and he's the high priest and king of the church. So he started running. It's Jesus. In that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say this to you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Gee, I wonder if that's true. You see, we got to decide these words. Look, verse 24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. Why? That your joy may be full. Do you know your joy in life? And a Christian life is dependent on your answered prayer. Did you know that? We weren't told that. If God don't answer prayer, then God's the joy stealer. My God is not the joy stealer. I mean, I have been dumb and robbed myself of joy already. But he has never. He wants your joy full. Man, that should make us so happy. Hallelujah that we get praise. You know what? God ain't been holding back on us. Religion's robbed us. Men's thinking has robbed us. Go to the truth. Listen, now this is what he goes on to say. He said, these things, in verse 25, now these things, he said, I've spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I tell you plainly about the Father. I'm telling you plainly about the Father. Now listen to this. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you. See, We're not trying to get, we don't pray to Jesus, and we don't have to pray. We don't have to ask Jesus to pray for us. See, all these people say Jesus and his intercession ministry, he's up there praying for us. Jesus said he won't be. His intercession ministry is not him praying. It's his intercessor ministry as high priest. His blood's on the throne. He's the representative for God for this purpose. That I can go to God myself. That I'm a priest of God, that now I go myself. His seating at the right hand is my authorization to walk into Dad myself. That's his intercession. Why would Jesus, if Jesus is doing my praying, what on earth am I praying for? Can he do a good enough job? Why would I have to go to the, why would he give me his name to go and pray and ask for stuff when Jesus was already praying and asking for stuff? Oh, we have a lot of stuff that's preached, and people buy it, but the whole point, he's telling us, you go to God, you go to the Father. Now listen what he says. He's speaking here. Now he says, verse 27, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from him. You know what Jesus just said there? God loves you just like he loves me. You go in and ask. He loves you as much. He'll answer your prayer as quick as he's answering mine. We were told he would. We need him interceding for me. Because I can't get my prayers answered as quick. Jesus just said, he loves you. Just like he loves me, he loves you. You go ask Dad in my name. He'll answer your prayer. Just like when I walked in this earth, he answered my prayers. He loves you in the same way. He loves you the same way. See, we have a hard time believing these things because we know all of our own frailties and we know our own mistakes. Maybe everybody else don't know all your mistakes, but you do. You know the things. And you know what? We measure ourselves against ourselves. God don't measure you in that way. Jesus said, Dad loves you, go ahead to him. You want to change life, you need to learn to go to God and quit judging yourself whether you ought to be able to do that. If I can't get into the presence of God till I get good, I don't need him. If I can get good without him, what's the point? We have a Christianity that's been preached now, and it's a Christianity based on works. Trying to earn healing, trying to earn things from God, trying to get stuff. I need help. I don't know about you. I need help. I can't save me. I can't deliver me. My record's not good enough. You know, I worked in a prison. And, you know, we go up and pull files on prisoners and records. And man, some prisoners had some long files, let me tell you. Well, I'm going to tell you what, when it came to be a sinner, I had some long files. But God don't measure me. Since I've been a Christian, I've gotten a few files. Have you? Have you gotten a few bad files? Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, they're washed by the blood of Jesus. I can go to the throne. See, he said, come boldly to the throne of grace, it says in Hebrews, to receive mercy, to find grace. You don't need mercy if you did everything right. But he said, when you've messed up, come boldly to the, you can boldly go there in the name of Jesus. You can go boldly to the Father. You can walk right into them. Jesus said, I don't have to do the praying. I don't have to fix this for you. You go to Dad. He loves you. Now let me ask this. Have kids do things wrong, do things crazy? Did you take them out back and shoot them? Well, that's what Christianity thinks God's doing. He's taking his kids out back and shooting them. He ain't good enough. In the middle of the mess. You can still go to your Father. Why? Just like we do with our kids. We still love them. They're our kids. We may not appreciate at all what they're doing. We may, but you know what? We still love them, don't we? And they come and they're still our kids, aren't they? Hallelujah. And God says to us, I love you. Why? You believed on Jesus. You're mine. Come on in. Let's get this stuff fixed. What do you need? So you come boldly to the throne of grace. And what does it say? You come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. In other words, you need mercy. Paul, you need forgiveness. So you've done something. You've done dumb. But he said this. It's to find grace to help. In other words, you need help. Grace is God's ability that works on your behalf. It's the power of God. Grace is God's power that works for you. Grace isn't some nice little just forgive thing. Grace is the power of God. Grace is what we say, I was saved by grace. You were saved by power. You were taken and born again. Greatest power that God ever did for humanity was the new birth. The creation of the universe was nothing compared to the power it took to take a spiritually dead being and turn it into a living God being. Greatest thing that ever happened. Everyone who believed on Jesus, it's an absolute miracle. The new birth is a miracle. You're not a washer. You know, most blood songs are, sad to say, that the whole idea of, you know, when we sing songs, they talk about being under the blood. I'm not under the blood. God doesn't look at me through the blood. I am born again. He can look at me face to face. That's why you know, it talks about face to face. He don't look at us through blood. That's the Old Testament. Blood covered. In the New Testament, there's no covering of blood in the New Testament. We're born again. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're a new creation. Old things passed away. The church today is the idea, you know, you're just a washed up sinner. So you can't go boldly to the throne of grace. You can't go to Father God and say, He loves me like Jesus. Yeah, but I ain't as good as Jesus. I just want to tell you something. I am. I'm as righteous as God Himself. You could not be the righteousness of God and not be as righteous as God. How does that one work? You see, religion pulls those statements because how can we handle that? It's unreasonable. It's unreasonable that God would make you as righteous as He is with your record. Isn't that right? Wouldn't that be? See, with what you did, ha-ha! And the devil's there to remind you, and I tell you what, he's got to preach in the churches. He gets in and gets to preach. And he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he does. He comes, he wants to rob you of righteousness. How could you be as righteous as God? See, religion can't stand those statements. Religion can't handle them. Say, do you understand it? No, I just believe it. Don't ask me to figure out how I could be as righteous as God, but yet God said I am. That's it. I don't need another statement on it. I don't need somebody else to come and explain something to me. Kenneth Hagin talked about preaching in a church he was at. And he said there was a guy who was sitting in the church who the pastor had said this guy was, he said was one of the most spiritual people in his church. This guy, and he said, he was sitting on the front row and he was doing day classes and then he had night like crusade type, more of a crusade type meetings, but he would do teaching during the day and this guy sat in the front row and he was teaching on righteousness. And he made it because there was a young girl was sitting near him and, kind of thinking teacher in righteousness asked this man a question. He said, are you as righteous as she is? Now this guy, you know, he's sitting there, he's thinking in, he said, I wish I was as pure as she was, you know, as he made this statement. Kenneth Hagin looked at him and said, if she's not born again and you are, you're more righteous than she is. And then he asked him, how do you get righteous? He said, well, how do you do this? How do you get righteous? How does it work? How do you get to be righteous? See, you're righteous through birth, not works. See, most Christians, they're trying to be righteous by works. You will never act out or live a righteous life trying to put works first. See, the average Christian is trying to, hey, we want to do righteous works. But you know what? You want to live a righteous life? First start believing and talking about being righteous. And don't be surprised, you become it. We do it exactly. See, religion always teaches everything backwards. It teaches you to go out and do the works, and then when the works are all done here, and if you do them good enough, now you can say you're all right. Now I was all right before I started. Hallelujah. See, if you want to change your life, you first got to change what you believe. You'll find, you know, all this self-help stuff. You go do the work first. You got to change people's minds. You got to change people to what they believe they are, of what they believe they can do. Am I able? Did God save me, but I can't follow this thing? I just can't walk in it. See, if your mindset gets over in that area, I've just made too many mistakes. I've done this. See, you're defeated. You've just defeated yourself. See, it doesn't make any sense to call yourself righteous when you don't see it. But it's no different than saying there's a God and you can't see Him. See, this faith life is about saying and believing the unseen. The church knows very little about the faith life. We only talk what we see. So we can't see God, so we don't talk much God. We don't. It's talking. It's called, the Bible says that you're something, then that's what you are. If you're a new creation, then talk about, I am a new creation. You say that about yourself. I am. I'm not the old person. My past, it doesn't matter. That guy's dead. The Bible says he's dead. What am I running around talking like he's alive? Talking about my past. I'll never forget my father and I had a discussion because when I got saved, I was 30 years old, got filled with the Holy Ghost. And my dad and I were having a talk, and there's one thing is he understood a lot of things in the areas of healing. It was amazing what he'd understood. I mean, he came out of he's a very religious man. But he understood some things about healing. But he was shocked when we were sitting and talking, and he said, I can't expect a whole lot in my life concerning things because he said, when I was a sinner, he said, with my drinking and the stuff that I did, he said, I ruined my body. I just ruined my body. And I started talking to him about what the Bible says about who he is. I said, Dad, are you that old man? Is God holding that old man against you, what you did with your body? Is he not going to heal you because of what you did as a sinner in your body? I said, is that what he's going to do? He's going to hold your past against you? You see, while I was talking to this, because I realized, see, they believed in getting born again, but they didn't realize the extent of born again. They didn't realize that that old man was dead. And the guy that ruined his body wasn't him. And because of holding those beliefs, it was holding him from faith in God changing things in his body. And I'll never forget the look on his face when I talked to him about being born again. The light came on. I'll never forget looking at him, and he saw that as, man, see, he'd been walking all these years holding against himself. God wasn't. But his religious belief, see, I got living with this because of what I did. See, I did this. Loads of people are living that thing. See, people care. People are born and raised in homes and all kind of stuff happens in their lives and all kind of things. And they drag that on. They get born again, but they drag all that into their Christian walk. You know, well, you just don't understand what kind of family I came from. And you just don't understand. Yeah, I do. I understand. You're the problem, not them. I understand. Until you figure that out, that my belief is what holds me in bondage. My beliefs. See, I had to learn the fact is not let the past dominate my future. You know, anybody that's successful, I've learned this following after people. You know, sometimes it's good to look at some sinners got more sense than the church does. But I've learned this about people who are very rich and people who have had business. The average person who has become very wealthy with business, if you've checked their past, lots of times their past, you'll find business failures. But you know what? They never let a business failure hold them. They never thought they were a failure because they had a business failure. And they would go back at it again. And the average person, I found out that they did studies that most people that are rich, you can take all their money and they get rich again. Boy, does that make people mad. You know why? It's because what they believe. They do what they believe and it works. The things that they know that make you rich, they do. And the people who get mad at them don't do those things and can't get rich. And they're mad at them. You can't keep rich people from getting rich. You can't. Why? Because they'll do things to get rich. We live in a dumb country full of dumb. We voted so many stupid people in office. I mean, and they call conservative. They weren't conservative. They were just stupid. They don't know how the system works. We don't have all this debt because they know anything about money. Well, they don't. They don't know a thing about money. The United States is the second nation in the world for debt. We're the second highest debt. The highest nation is Japan. Japan's national debt is 200 times their GDP. United States is 100 times our GDP. 100 times our GDP. If we took our GDP for the next 100 years, it would take to pay off the debt. What do you think of that one? That's taking everybody's everything. Don't worry, the Republicans will take care of it. They get in office, we won't add a nickel more to that. And if you believe that, man, have I got something for you. Just give me your money, I'll invest it. I'll just... Folks, this is why you got to walk by faith. Or you'll cry. See, things that are true out here that are going on in the world, you have to have something that's a truth higher than that to hold you. You have to have a truth that's greater. You have to have something. You can't operate on their level. You lose your joy. Jesus said, in His name and under the authority of His name, you can go to Father God yourself. And He will answer your prayer just like He would answer His. See, we could never imagine Jesus not getting His prayer answered. Could you? Could you ever think of that? We got to lose that fact that we would think that we couldn't. Now, I'm going to tell you what. It don't make any sense. It don't... What? Other than He says, look, you believed on Me. Go ahead and use My name and you can do it. It's so simplistic that it is hard for people to believe such a thing. We measure ourselves against ourselves and our lives and things. We put ourselves down, really. We hold ourselves in bondage. And God the whole time offers so good that is so good. And see, meditate. Get a meditation. You know, where God, you know, Josh and him are going to go, they got to meditate on My word day and night. Meditate on these things that Jesus said. Don't run into the prayer room just whining to God about things or your problems or your need. Meditate on what the word says and walk in the door and say, I know Dad. I'm going to go to Dad. He's going to fix this thing for me. I know He will because the word says if He didn't, He'd be a liar. My God never lies. See, we got to become that confident about Him. We got to come. He's going to take care of this. He's going to look after this. It's hard to have religious beliefs and get in the presence of God and walk away feeling good. See, I know why God at times puts me through things where you just have to wait and wait on things, where you just got to trust. Hey, I ask Him, He's doing it. He's doing it. See, I look in the natural. Don't look like it's working. Yeah, but the Word says it is. The Bible says it's working. The Bible says God heard me and He answered. It's going to be taken care of. Oh, my flesh is saying, yeah, but I don't see nothing. And then, see, you got to watch who you tell about this stuff, because what happens, you'll get people come and sing you a song. Have you ever been there? But you know what? The devil will come and talk to you. It'll keep coming up to you. You know, this ain't working. This, you know. You need to go do something. You need to hurry up and do something. And those things go on in us. And I just want to encourage you today. Sit down and look at the Word. It doesn't matter what I said. It matters what Jesus said. And I'm telling you, I am going to believe Jesus is true. I don't believe he had hitting meetings that somebody got to come on, that you guys are so stupid that you need some guy that has about 47 letters past his name that he has to come and tell you because you ain't bright enough to figure this out. If God could move through those dumb apostles, and I want to tell you what, you talk about a messed up bunch. And he, you know what it says about them? They turn the world upside down. Oh, dear Lord, if it takes stupid to turn the world upside down, I'm in the place, man. I tell you what. But it doesn't take brilliance. All it took is men who believed. All we have to do is believe. Those words are true. Meditate on those words. See, there's a lot of people don't need any counseling. What they need is to look at the Bible and believe that it's true. People get into counseling and they go into all these things and trying to find out everything about somebody's life. Forget it. I'll tell you what changes lives. I know this myself. It's believing what the Bible says. The best counsel that I ever get is in these things. Is going, you know, because nobody knows you better than Jesus. And you know, you need to know what you are on the inside. Are you in contact with what's on the inside? In Romans 8 chapter, it says that the spirit of man knows what a man is. See, you need to know what you really are. See, most Christians don't know who they are. They think they're just a cleaned up sinner. They've been taught. You're just a washed up sinner. You just got forgiven. That's all you got. See, you're still as dirty as you were. And God, just cause he's nice, he'll do some things for you cause he's real nice. Jesus said, you can go to the Father yourself. I don't have to pray for you. I didn't say ask me to pray for you. Don't ask me. Well, the church is trying to get all kinds of things that they can do themselves. We can go to the Father. Because you're a believer. I just can't. It just blows my mind that the creator of all things, that God, I mean, I can just go ask him and he'll do it for it. Just because I believe Jesus. Now, you get thinking on that long enough, you probably talk yourself out of it. You know? See, it isn't a matter of trying to reason. It's trying. You know, I found this in myself as many times. I hear things and I look at it, I'm reading in scripture, I'm studying, and things come to me and all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's a light turns on in the inside. And I've learned over the years, don't try to reason past that. Enjoy the light. When the light comes on, enjoy the light. Believe what you see in the light. Walk in what you see in the light. See, and this morning, it's about preaching the word. Turn the light on. It's about turning that light. See, that light's turned on this morning. I didn't turn the light on. Jesus did. Jesus turned that light on. Now, I'm going to tell you this. We might sit here and think we have a hard time about it. I just wonder what the disciples thought when he said those things to them. They just came out of Judaism. They are legalists under the law. God is good, but he don't like people that much. You ain't Moses. This is what Jesus said. Jesus, talking about prophets, Jesus said this, that John the Baptist was the greatest prophet there ever was. That's what Jesus said. So we don't know much today what prophets are. John the Baptist never did a miracle. See, if you'd ask people who's the great prophet, they'd say Elijah and all this stuff. It's not what Jesus said. Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest. But he didn't leave it at that. He said the least in the kingdom is greater than him. Woo! The least, I'm just thinking of this, the least in the kingdom is greater than John. And under the Old Testament, John was the greatest. God loves you. God loves you. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. God loves you today. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you this morning for the richness of the truth of your word. Father, I'm so grateful. Grateful, Lord God. Lord, I didn't have to dream up these things or try to figure these things. Lord, our Master, in His wonderful wisdom, spoke these things to us who believe. And Lord God, we're here today. We're just those believers. We're just believers. Amen. And Lord God, the richness of your word is so wonderful. And Lord, we believe it's true today. It's true. It's because it's said in the scriptures. Lord God, Lord, we don't have to do a thing about trying to make any of this up. And I want to thank you. We don't have to try to figure about this. Jesus, you couldn't be our Lord and be a liar. Amen. Who would want to call a liar Lord? You're the living word. You are the truth.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, you said yourself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, hallelujah. And I thank you. The truth was spoken. And Lord God, it was for everyone who heard. It was for everyone. That truth rang out today. For everyone who heard. Oh, Lord God and Father, we just humbly receive the truth. We just take it. Lord, we're going to take your truth and we're going to believe it and make it our truth now. That's our truth. That belongs to us. You gave it to us. And Lord, we're not going to let anybody steal it. We're not going to let any devil. We're not going to let any other person is not going to steal these wonderful truths from us. We take them today. You graciously gave them to us. And we wisely take them. And we're going to hold on to them. And we're going to keep them. And we're going to treasure them like the treasure they really are. We're not going to be robbed. We may have been robbed in the past, but we're not going to be robbed anymore. We're not going to be robbed. We're going to walk in the glory of these truths. And Lord God, these truths are going to unfold other truths to us. They're going to unfold other things of the Word that are going to lead us to a place to walk in glory that we have desired. Lord, that we have seen and even men have prophesied and spoke of. But Lord God, we're not going to just hear about it. We're not going to hear voices say, we're going to walk in it. Truth. Truth will lead us to the destination that you've prepared. Truth will take us there. And I want to thank you, Father God. Father, if we've been in any unbelief, it isn't because we wanted to be. Lord, and I just want to thank you. You're not holding things against you. And I want to thank you for the wonderful blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So if we missed the mark, I want to thank you, Lord God. You know how to clean us up, take us in. Hallelujah. You're the one that can make us stand, and you will. And Lord God, the good work that you started in us, you're bringing it to completion in the name of Jesus Christ. You're working mightily in us. Hallelujah. You haven't put us out. You've taken us in. And you're revealing these wonderful simplicity of the truth of the word to us so we can walk in a place of glory. Lord God, Lord, if someone doesn't walk in these places of glory, who will reach out to others who don't know? But Lord God, we're going to be able to reach out to others who don't know. We're going to be able to help them. Oh, Lord God, Lord, when they see you respond to us, they will want to know how you will respond to them. Lord God, that we can stand, oh Lord, and you've allowed me to do it so many times, Lord, when people didn't know and understand, Lord God, that I was able to pray for them, Lord God, and your goodness and mercy came upon them because of faith in the Word. And I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're vessels that desire to be used for Jesus Christ to be glorified, Jesus Christ to be magnified. Hallelujah. I thank you so much for forgiveness today. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, setting us back on a straight and narrow, setting us back into a place, Lord God, that we can see clearly ahead. Hallelujah. Father, without condemnation of our past, we might have missed it along the road. Maybe we believed the wrong thing. Hallelujah. But Lord God, you're straightening things out. Hallelujah. You're taking those crooked places and you're making them straight. You're taking those places that were up and down, that roller coaster, and Lord God, you're leveling it out. So Lord God, we can walk a life with sure footing. We just thank you for it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we just love those words that Jesus said. Hallelujah. That the Father loves you. The Father loves you. Hallelujah. He'll answer your prayer. The Father loves you. Glory to God. The Father loves you. Oh, thank you, Lord God. He will answer your prayers because He loves you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This keeps coming up in me. It was coming up to me earlier this morning, but this, from Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 11 says, but the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. See, that same Spirit, it says, makes alive or quickens, it says in the King James, or makes alive your mortal body. Now I want you to think about that. We use that the standpoint of healing, and it's correctly, you can't. It's really from anything. It makes you alive. What brings life? What do you need life for? What are you dealing with in life? Now, I want you to understand is, one of the things that I learned about this and got a revelation years ago from this scripture, and it's very helpful, is number one, I learned about it from the areas of healing. See, the same Spirit's in me making my body alive. It's already, it's in there working now. See, when I got the revelation first, that's in there working now. I mean, in other words, the Holy Spirit, one of His jobs is to work and bring life to your body, to help your body. See, get over and start saying that. So get that thing onto you. Hey, this is what I'm in me, the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to get God to do something for me. He already set up a plan to work in me and to do something. He is. But here's another thing. Our flesh can really be a problem just in the area. You ever find your flesh is just annoying to you? I mean, it just seems you're going through trouble and your flesh rises up. You see, I got a revelation from God. See, that same Spirit is to make alive your mortal body. See, your mortal body needs some immortal help. And that's what the Holy Spirit's in there. The Holy Spirit can help you subdue your body. He's quickening or making alive your mortal body. So your mortal body in its mortal state, which is death doomed, can be made alive by God. Now, I'm not talking about, see, some people say he's talking about getting a new body. No, he's not. You read Romans 8, it ain't talking about resurrection body. It isn't talking about that. It's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in the human right now in the earth. It goes on to talk about praying, how He helps us pray here. It's talking about the standpoint. In other words, you can let the Holy Spirit wants to work life where your body, your flesh doesn't dominate you all the time, that you, it helps you keep it under control so it doesn't rule over you. See, because you get over the areas of faith and you're walking, the next thing your body's complaining. Say, well, you're believing God's helping you, but I'm feeling worse today. Hey, that's what your body will tell you. But see, you learn to yield that. Start to, the Holy Spirit's working in me, helping my body operate. Now, when you talk about your body, that's everything. You know, every organ in your body, everything that's going on, you know, your brain's an organ. It ain't some kind of special thing. Ain't no different than your liver. It's an organ. You know, it's get your brain working right. See, I don't believe in this thing as you get older and your mind goes on you. Now see, it happens because people believe it and confess it. They say, well, yeah, it's just going to happen. Well, the doctor said, you know, he's God for sure. He wrote the Bible, you know. You know, see, we get over here saying these things and we do. Now, I'm not against doctors because, you know, they tell you what they know. And there's one thing is I learned a long time ago. They sure don't know everything. I learned that a long time ago. I thank God for what they can do, but they're not God. Amen. And see, start talking about what you are and what's in you and what's working in you. Hallelujah. It's number one. See, this is one way is to maintain joy in your life. Because if you don't, you got to say the right things. You know, it's number one, you're going to believe more than what you, about what you say than anybody says. You're going to go along with what more you think about things than anybody else says. As I was always a believer, as you got to be your number one best cheerleader. If you're waiting for somebody else to be your best cheerleader, good luck. Because, you know, they cheer you on one day and they'll throw you under the bus the next. Did you ever have that? You're wonderful for the next 24 hours. But you got to learn to cheer yourself on. You got to learn to do that. Hallelujah. And say things that the Bible says about you. They're true. God's working in me. God's not out there. He's not just looking at the outward appearance of me. He's not walking along. See, I was born and raised in church. You'd have thought God was writing everything you did wrong. He was writing it down. He was, you know, and he had this file cabinet in heaven. And don't worry, he ain't gonna have time ever judging any of you good. You should see my file cabinet. Good God. That sucker's so long, it'll take him at least 300 light years just to go through my file. Well, see, we were told God's up there and he's just looking, picking out, just looking at every place I made a mistake and he's doing that. Well, he's God and he sees everything. The wonder of God is this. God knows how to be blind. He don't look at your past, the forgiven past. He never sees it. He becomes blind. God does not know me from my past life after 30 years old. God doesn't know my life. If God would ever bring up my past life, I could stop and I have a right to criticize him. His word's a lie. I never existed. The guy today, I was born in God's eyes in January of 1980. That's when I came into existence. I didn't exist before that. My dumb body did. Of course, you can look at it and see that. But the real Ed didn't. So you can look at the time of your birth. You didn't exist. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Aren't you glad?